All right, if you take your Bibles with me and go to Psalms 56, Psalms 56, and children, you can be dismissed to junior church, third grade on down. You can go to the back and be dismissed, third grade on down. He was telling me that story earlier, and I said, why don't you just come to the source first? I could have helped you out. That's funny. On another note, obviously, maybe if you come in today, you saw both of my cars out there. You saw the car Katie usually drives and the car I usually drive. And one of the guys were joking with me in the back, said, oh, you guys are taking this thing really serious and driving separate cars even to church. And I was like, no. Actually, what had happened was on Friday, Katie was scheduled to come in and speak to the elementary chapel. Bradley in the morning decided it was a good idea to swallow a penny. And usually that's not a bad thing, right? I mean, kids swallow things all the time. And he swallowed a penny, and then he started eating breakfast. And then about, 10 minutes later, he threw up what he had eaten. And so we thought, maybe it's lodged in there and it's stopping food from coming down. So we took him to the doctors. And luckily, when he threw up, I guess they thought that it pushed the penny down. So they got an x-ray. We got a nice little x-ray of Bradley with a penny in his stomach. And actually, the penny passed through this morning, in case you're wondering. So we're happy to report that. No, it's not the offering. Katie mentioned, she's like, I'm gonna find that penny. When I find it out, I'm gonna know what the number is, and that's gonna be his number when he plays sports. So it was 1963. So I guess if he's wearing 63, you know why. In all seriousness, Psalms 56:3. Let's read this one verse. And I've entitled this message this morning, Do Not Fear. Verse 3, a very familiar verse. Verse 3 of Psalms 56 says, What time I am afraid, I will what? Trust in Thee. Let's open with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You and praise You so much for the opportunity we have this morning to be around Your Word, to be in fellowship with one another. And Lord, I just pray that You would use this message. Lord, I have a lot to say this morning. There's a lot going on in my head and rolling around in there. And I hope it all comes out clearly today. I just pray that this would be a blessing to those of us that are here, and that we could remember that that we don't have to be afraid, and what should be our response during this time. Lord, I pray that we would have these types of responses that are going to be mentioned this morning. Lord, help me to say the things You want me to say, forget the things You don't want me to say. Lord, I pray that You would empty me of myself and fill me with Your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. We could easily say what a week it's been, right? I mean, wow. Like I told you at the beginning, I had planned on preaching something else, and then as the week unfolded, it was like, okay, God, You're definitely leading me to preach on something else. And I don't think in my lifetime, at least, I've seen anything quite like this. There was one time in my lifetime where there was something sort of like this, but it was dealt with differently, and that was 9/11. Remember 9/11 when that went down? I remember exactly where I was. I remember afterwards things getting crazy for a little bit, but then what happened? Everyone turned to God, right? There was actually a lot of prayer, a lot of people rallying together, and it brought them closer to God. Now, in my mind, this pandemic is in no comparison to that, because what we are seeing is almost total shutdown in our country. I think there's going to be more coming as more tests are being done, and there's going to be more. The number's probably going to go up a little bit, so everyone's going to freak out even more. And so we're going to see a lot of this happening. So rather than people turning to Christ like they did in 9/11, they're now turning towards big government to solve these problems. What we've seen so far this week, and as I'm even talking, there's probably things unfolding, right? It's just like it's continuing to happen. What we've seen so far is the NBA decides to shut down, the MLB decides to shut down, NHL suspended their season. My most favorite thing is shut down in March Madness. I love watching March Madness during this time. Well, now that's gone, and we've seen that schools have decided to shut down for periods of time. And actually, as I wrote this, our state hadn't even gotten to that point yet, but now our state is to that point. But let's talk about some of the stuff that has affected us. This week, our junior and senior high were scheduled to go to a fine arts competition, the wax competition, on Friday, and they found out that that was postponed and most likely will be canceled, I would imagine. That was heartbreaking to some of our teens, right? They were excited about that. They've been working all year to go and perform and to play their parts and to sing and do all sorts of things, and now that was postponed. And also, maybe, on a lighter note, maybe you've been affected by not being able to find toilet paper. Obviously, it's like all over. I mean, just toilet paper is off the shelves, and there's all sorts of funny, even memes about toilet paper that you can find. It's quite ridiculous, but in all seriousness, it is a problem. I mean, if you go to the store right now, it's hard to find some of these things, and so if you need some, we have some that we can give. We'll lend some out. But also, we've seen face-to-face instruction at college universities has been canceled. Everything is now kind of going to online. And our governor actually suggested that any gatherings over 250 people that not take place. And the list just keeps going on and on and on and on and on. And it's going to continue to unfold, like I said. So with all that being said, this has affected most of us in one way or another, right? As a Friday morning, now this is old news. As a Friday morning, Fox News reported this: in the U.S., at least 47 states, I think that's up to 49 now, 47 states plus the District of Columbia have reported confirmed cases of COVID-19, tallying over 1,600 illnesses and 41 deaths. I think that's now up a little bit to about 50 deaths. Those numbers are probably a little lower than what they actually are right now. So with that, let me just say that I'm not taking this lightly. Any death, whether one or 100, is tragic, right? We shouldn't take that lightly. But let's just say what it is. This is a virus, right? This is a virus. Now I'm going to get to the Bible here in a second, so just hold it with me for a second. We've had viruses pop up before. We will continue to have viruses pop up in the future. It's going to happen. So the question is, why is this one, COVID-19, so hyped up? You know, why is this one so much different than other viruses? Why is this creating such mass hysteria and panic in our country? I mean, so much so that we are now seeing where we can't, you know, get personal needs that we need. Why? Well, I believe it's two reasons. Okay, my first reason, I want to say from the bat that I think this is what I believe, but it's also my opinion. Okay, I want to state that right from the bat. It's my opinion because I cannot necessarily find this in Scripture, but this is my opinion. However, I do believe this to be true. I do believe that at least in part in this country, this has become a little bit politicized. Okay, yes. At least a little bit politicized. Think about it. At what other time has something of this nature become so driven by media, right? I mean, think about it. When have you seen anything like this take place? This thing has gotten more media action and attention than anything I can remember, other than, you know, just when Trump was trying, they were trying to get Trump out of the office. Impeachment, right? The impeachment had a lot of media coverage. Okay, just as like this one. So I believe that the media and all this hysteria is part of this problem of creating a lot of this panic in our country. Now, like I said, and I'll continue to say, this is serious enough to be very cautious, okay? We should be cautious. We should continue to practice good hygiene. I like what our president said yesterday, I believe it was. Somebody was asking him, he took the test, but he hadn't come back yet. And they said, well, you haven't taken this thing very serious. You're still shaking people's hands. And he said, well, it's a habit I have. I didn't do that a lot much before I was a politician, but now I'm a politician. I'm like forced to shake people's hands, and now it's become a habit, and it's hard for me to stop. And so it's hard for me to, you know, when people put their hands out, not to shake it, or it's hard for me not to remember to put my hand out. So I like his response. And he went on to say that, you know, honestly, this is a virus, and you know, it's just as bad if you were shaking hands with the flu around. You know, you're gonna spread the flu, and those who are elderly are gonna be affected by it as well. And so I thought that was good on his part to say. However, to take this one virus and to cause such panic seems to be a little bit calculated to me in a bit, Everyone here, let's do a comparison. Everybody here most likely was around for 2009, right? H1N1, the swine flu. Remember that?
Yeah.
Remember what took place there? H1N1, in my opinion, it didn't seem to get as much attention. Maybe I don't have a good memory, but do you remember it being this much hype over the H1N1 swine flu? Let me just give some factual information that I found. It came into our country in 2009. As of March of 2010, the U.S. Centers of Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, estimated that about 59 million Americans had contracted H1N1 virus. So that's a lot, right? In a year's time, roughly. That's a lot of people that contracted that virus. 265,000 of those people were hospitalized as a result, and the numbers vary between 12 to 14,000 that people died from that virus, the swine flu. Okay, so that's tragic, right? To hear all those people that had died, but compare that to what we're dealing with now, as of now, you know, about 1,600 people, 41 deaths, that was as of Friday, okay? That's no comparison. But those statistics should say something to us. It's in my opinion that this is being blown out of proportion a little bit. Again, this doesn't mean that we shouldn't take precautions to help stop the spread and help those that are older and that have pre-existing conditions from getting it. But when you look at the hard numbers, it wasn't as big of a deal with the H1N1, although in the sense of the numbers, it was a big deal.
Yes, it was.
But now we're making this a big deal. And partly, I think the president's doing his job of trying to limit the damage of this virus. So that's why he's taking the precautions that he's taking. All I'm saying is that it's my opinion that this is somehow being polarized and politicized, at least in our country, to attack our current administration. Now, that was my opinion. So, forgive me for giving my opinion, but as your pastor, I just wanted you to know what my opinion was. But second reason, and this is more biblical reason, and it's the word simply fear. Why have we had such panic? Why is there such an upheaval in our country? Why are you going to Walmart and not being able to find TP? Why are we having these problems?
Yes, amen.
Because of fear.
Yes, amen.
Fear. Many people are just frankly afraid. They're scared. There's this unknown to them. And unknowns can be scary for people. But let's go back to our verse for a moment. Psalms 56:3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in who? Thee, God. Let's say that together this morning. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Let's say it again. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. So as believers, we have no need, no right, if you will, to be afraid. We don't need to be afraid. Absolutely no reason. Why? Because we have the Lord to put our trust in. Now, after all that's been said, I want us to read a bunch of verses this morning. I'm going to read a lot of them, and it's going to be a help to us. It's going to be a confidence booster that we as believers don't have to be fearful. And we're going to look at these verses, perhaps jot these passages down, if you will, so that you can go back and read them on your own or maybe even use them to help somebody else. But I'm going to just fly through some of these passages this morning and not going to turn to them in my Bible. I have them written down here. But Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10 says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee."
Amen.
Don't be afraid, because who's with you? God. "Be not dismayed or anxious or worried, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness."
Amen.
We don't have to be afraid. We have God.
Yes.
2 Timothy 1:7, perhaps you've seen this all over social media. It says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. We as believers don't have that. We don't have that spirit of fear anymore.
Amen.
But now we have, it says, "but of power, of love, and of sound mind. In other words, we have self-control. That word sound mind, self-control. We don't have to be hoarders. We can have self-control. Okay? We have been given a power and of love. We don't have that spirit of fear. Psalms 94:19 says, in the multitude of my thoughts within me. Okay, all the thoughts that are going on in our heads in regards to what's going on in our world and our country and in our state. He goes on to say, thy comforts delight my soul. Amen. So all in the multitude, all the thoughts that are within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Amen. Isaiah 43:1 says, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. We don't have to fear. We are redeemed. Amen. Proverbs 12:24 or 25 says, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, mm-hmm. but a good word maketh it glad. Amen. 1 Peter 5:6-7 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And it goes on to say, casting all your cares upon him, because what? He cares for you. Amen. We don't have to worry. We don't have to fret. We don't have to be all up in heaval over what's going on, because we know that God is sovereign. We know that he cares for us. Amen. Psalms 27:1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? We don't have to be afraid, because the Lord is our life. The Lord is our salvation. The Lord is the strength of our life. Psalms 55:22 says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. So when we are burdened, obviously, there might be some here that are burdened. There's some in here that there's some people missing this morning, and I know they're a little burdened about what's happening. We need to cast our burdens upon the Lord. Amen. And he will sustain us. So Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6 is another verse. It says, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. Now this is when they're going into battle. It says, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doeth good with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Amen. But the same can be applied to this virus. Yes. Be strong of good courage. Don't fear. He will not fail thee. He will not forsake us. He is not going to leave us. Psalms 46:1, another verse. God is our refuge. We just read this. God is our refuge. Our strength, a very present help in trouble. Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man bringeth a snare. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be what? Safe. Okay? The fear of man brings snare. But when we put our trust in the Lord, we will be safe. Psalms 34:4 says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. We don't have to be afraid. We need to seek out the Lord. We need to pray. Now, I will ask you to turn to Psalms 91 with me this morning. The last section of verses I'm going to speak about right now, at least. Psalms 91. We're going to read this whole passage, because I want us to notice a principle within this passage. Psalms 91 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he hath delivered thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for terror by night, nor for arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thy eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angel charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shall thou trample under feet, because he hath set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him, as I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen. The principle I want us to glean from this passage is simply this. We at this very moment, we have to understand that we are covered by God's wings. We are protected by him. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I don't think we are all the time aware of that, but he is. He's always there with wings spread over us to guard us from anything that would harm us, because he is our refuge. Amen. When we live with this knowledge, our lives will be changed. Our lives will be different. We won't live in fear. We can be able to have peace as believers. Even though we live in this perilous world, even though we're dealing with what's going on right now, as believers, we can have rest knowing that our Father has us covered. So, how do we as believers respond to this? I'm going to give us some practical things. How do we as believers respond to what's going on with this COVID-19 and the fear that it's causing and the panic that's resulting because of it? Well, first thing I want us to do, I think we should be, how we should respond, is we should respond with calmness. With calmness. Respond with calmness. Allow the Holy Spirit to produce within us that peace that passeth all understanding. Amen. Respond in the spirit of peace and rest, not in the spirit of fear, right? We don't have to respond in the spirit of fear. We shouldn't. Why? Because why should we be calm? Think about it. Well, because the world is watching. Those of us who work in wherever we work, and people, if we come out of the grocery store with a whole grocery cart full of TP, and we run into our friends, they're thinking, "What's wrong with you?" You know, "Oh, you're part of this too. You're fearful too, right?" Not saying you can't have a package, right? I went into the store recently to grab some, right? And I was a little leery about just grabbing, all I needed really was toilet paper, to be honest. I was a little leery about going in the store and just grabbing that and walking out, so I got something else to go along with it. You know? I didn't need what I got, but I didn't want to look weird. But we should be responding in fear. We should be responding with calmness. Because the world is watching how we as believers respond to all of this. They want to see whether we are who we say we are. Amen. So respond to this pandemic with calmness. Don't be caught up in this panic mode of all that's going on. Understand that God has got this. God knew about this long before we were ever born. Amen. God is in control. There's no need to fear. We can rest in peace that our God loves us and cares for us no matter what, and that is never going to change. Amen. Ever. During these times of public panic, we as Christians need to align our professed belief with our actual belief. Okay? In other words, be who you say you are. So respond with calmness, number one. Number two, view this as an opportunity. Yes. This is a big opportunity for Christians. Perhaps you're saying, "Well, what are you talking about? How is this an opportunity? Did I mishear what you just said?" No, you didn't. This is an opportunity for us. We can use this to show the world our faith. We just got done reading a whole bunch of verses about faith, right? Whole bunch. That encourage us, that unite us in the fact that we have nothing to fear. So let's make sure that the world sees that. Amen. Let's not join in the panic. Now, the first century church was actually pretty good at this. Great at this, actually, not panicking. In views of hardship, they viewed hardships as opportunities to share Christ. Understand that God will often use fear like this to help bring others for their to understand their need for Christ. So we need to be in the wings waiting for that. People around us are scared. They are fearful. It's part of the reason for this panic. And why are they fearful? Why are they scared? It's because they don't have what we have. They don't have the peace that passes all understanding that we have. So let's use this as an opportunity to share Christ by our response to this pandemic, how we will react. Now is the time, folks, to speak out. It's the time to let others know of the hope that lies within us, as Kim mentioned this morning in Sunday school. Now is the time. People don't have what we have. They are legitimately fearful. My friend, Pastor Josh Tice, wrote well. He said, take 1 minute. I want us to do this. Take 1 minute and imagine what it would be like to not believe in an omnipotent God. Think about that. All of us in here probably already believe that. But place yourself in an unsaved individual's shoes and think, okay, I don't believe in an omnipotent God. And now all this craziness is going on globally and in our country. How could they be feeling? And then imagine the terror and uncertainty that so many are feeling. Could this be our moment as Christians? Could this be our chance to demonstrate true peace, genuine faith to the world throughout this panic? Could this be our moment? I think so. God can use this. God wants to use this as an opportunity. I hope we don't miss that. I hope we're not all caught up in our own selves, that we miss the opportunity that's right before us. This is our chance. So let us pray that God will help us speak the gospel into a fearful world. They're afraid. We have the opportunity to speak the gospel to them. And why is this important? Because Jesus ultimately is the only one that will resolve their fear. So we have the answer to their fear. View this as an opportunity to share the gospel to the lost. Also, one more thing about opportunity. Not only should we view this as an opportunity to share Christ to the unsaved, but also I think we could view this as an opportunity in our families as well. Look, this whole thing, we don't know how this is going to play out. It's unfolding every single day, it seems like. We don't know what's going to happen. We know that schools are shutting down, and so we're going to be spending more time with our kids, right? We know that certain things are happening. There's some countries that are literally locked down, like they have to be in quarantine in their house, right? We don't know what's going to happen, but use this as an opportunity in our families. This whole thing could really explode even more in our country. So what I'm saying is enjoy that extra time together. Enjoy it. Have fun together. Do some things. Enjoy it. Use it as an opportunity not only to have fun, but use it as an opportunity to teach your children not to fear. Amen. Right? Teach them how to respond to this, which is not in fear. So respond with calmness. View this as an opportunity, also to share the gospel with the lost world, but also opportunity to spend time with family and to build your family and to help them to understand that they don't need to respond in fear. But number three, respond also with loving care. Respond with loving care. Remember, the unbeliever does not have Christ to give them peace. So all they're hearing is the media, whether social media, whether news media, they're hearing media and the crazy, and all these things that, in my opinion, like I already said, has been blown out of proportion a little bit. So how should we respond to these people? Well, we need to respond to them with loving care because they don't have that peace. Did you know that throughout history, Christians would often stand out because of their willingness to help the sick in plagues? They would. They would actually help when people were, when they're going through plagues or some sort of persecution. They would love and care for people, and they weren't afraid of death. Why? Because they understood Philippians 1:21, where Paul says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." They understood that no matter what, the Christian wins. Right? No matter what. So rather than asking ourselves, how can I stay healthy? Let's look for ways that we can show love and compassion and care to our neighbors. Look for ways that we can be a blessing to those around us. This is not a time to hoard, like I said. It's a time to serve. It's a time to care. Think about it. Who do you know right now, you're thinking about right now, that you know that is vulnerable? Who's vulnerable? Okay, we know based upon what we've heard that the elderly are most vulnerable, especially the elderly that have pre-existing conditions, right? So we know that they're vulnerable. So how can we help them? Well, obviously, they might be a little afraid. My grandmother is in there, I think 80 or 79. And she is she's one of those worrywarts, you know? And she is really scared. I was talking to my dad last night, and she's like really scared, my grandpa, and she's worried about going out and catching this, and she's legitimately fearful. So how could we help someone like that? Well, if we know that they're like that, why don't we go be a help and go do some grocery shopping for them? You know? Maybe they don't want to be out. So go get their teepee for them. You know? Go help them. Who do you know that's afraid? Lots of people, right? Lots of people are afraid. Well, how can you love and care for them? Well, you have some great scriptures to take them to now. But also, most importantly, they're not going to quite grasp those scriptures until they come to faith, right? Put their faith in Christ. So, we can be a help. We need to love and care for these people. There are ways to show that love and care. Maybe you need to just start thinking outside the box a little bit. I'm just going to talk up my wife for a second. I really appreciate her and her attitude towards this whole thing. And I've noticed I'm kind of a stalker when it comes to her phone. But I look at her phone sometimes. And I look at the text messages. And I've noticed that she's been sending text messages to different people asking how they're doing, if she could help in any way. People I've noticed are on the phone talking to some people saying, how can I help you? What can I do? You need some toilet paper? You need some supplies? We have some food. We have some water. What you need? And that's what we should be doing. Let's show love to those that are living in fear. So, number one, we need to respond with calmness. Number two, view this as an opportunity, both to share Christ and also as an opportunity with our families. Number three, respond with loving care. But number four, and I think the most important thing right now, is pray.
Amen.
Pray. Take heed to what Philippians 4:6 says. In fact, why don't you go there? Philippians 4:6, another good verse. Philippians 4:6. Probably have it memorized. It says, be careful for nothing. In other words, be anxious for, or don't be worried for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So in other words, instead of fretting, instead of worrying, instead of getting all panicky, what do we need to do? We need to pray. And how can we pray? What should we pray for? Well, here's a list that things of I think that we should pray for, that I'm going to start praying for. And these are the things. Pray for those impacted by this illness. Obviously, the numbers are low now, but there are people who have been impacted by this illness. I think right now, last I heard, is 8 in Wisconsin. Not a lot. There might be more now. I mean, as this is changing. But we know people have been impacted by this illness, whether they have it or whether, you know, they can't get the supplies that they need, right? You have been impacted by this illness, so pray for those. Pray for those at higher risk. I already mentioned that. Pray for those who are fearful and anxious. Pray for all the medical professionals. I mean, they're having to deal with this. I don't think we quite grasp all the things that they're going through, right? I mean, the hospitals are pulling their hair out trying to help people who are coming in wanting this test. Okay? So there's a lot going into it for medical professionals, and they are the ones who are on the front lines. So pray for them. Pray for our governing leaders, our president, vice president, this task force that's been put in place. Pray for them. Much stress is on them. Long hours is on them. Intense public scrutiny is on them. I mean, I can even sense that in even, you know, my position as pastor. I feel like there's a little bit of scrutiny in how I'm dealing with this, how I can help our church make sure they feel safe. I mean, I can't imagine what it's like for the leader of our country, right? Having to, you know, make these decisions, it's difficult. So pray for them. I was watching a Fox News thing the other day, and President Trump was there with the task force behind him, and he would mention that these task force people that are working on this, they've been working 20 plus hours a day. You know, they've been working long, hard hours to try to keep this virus at bay. So pray for them. Pray for them as they make decisions. Pray for God to protect our nation, our region, our state, our church, family, our ministry. Pray for that. Pray that we as a church will respond with calmness. We won't get all panicky. Pray that we would view this as opportunities, like I said. Pray that we as a church would exhibit love and care for our neighbors, for those who do have need. But most importantly, pray for the lost to turn to Christ and that their hearts will be more open to the gospel. So as I sum it up, do not fear. We have nothing to fear. God has got this under control. Now we should be cautious and careful and let us more importantly, demonstrate to those around us that we care and that we are calm. We should have peace that passes all understanding. We should see the potential that lies in this. There's a lot of potential here that believers have to share Christ. How about this? Why don't we spend more time in prayer than getting caught up on all the hysteria around us? That's for me. I said that for me. Because, man, I've spent a lot of time this week in preparation for this partly, but also just watching news media, watching Facebook. And, you know, why don't I spend more time on my knees this week than spending time in social media, Fox News, whatever? Let me say this. Wouldn't it be amazing if the world that is now filled with panic could look to this church as an example of peace in the midst of this pandemic? Let's be salt and light that God intended us for us to be. I don't find it any coincidence that last week Brother Aaron was here and he spoke on salt and light. No coincidence. There's a reason why he spoke on salt and light last week, because we needed it for this week. We're going to need it in the weeks ahead. We have an opportunity. Let's not lose this opportunity. Now, Mike, if you'd get the video ready, I found this video. A church is putting.